And hello, good morning everybody. And welcome to this first practice guidance session, in which we are going to be offering some instructions for you to practice during the day, and also giving a little bit of a framework of what we are going to be doing in general here. So the thread of the retreat is going to be this discourse that the Buddha gave that has come to be known as the Satipatthana Sutta. Satipatthana is a compound word from sati and patthana. Sati is this Pali term meaning mindfulness. It is what has been translated into mindfulness or wakefulness or presence. Awareness. And patthana means foundation or place where we establish our mindfulness. So satipatthana is the places where we're going to establish our mindfulness, the areas of our experience where we are going to be bringing our attention to dwell on. And in this discourse that the Buddha gave, that said this satipatthanas is, he presented four satipatthanas, four areas in which we can bring our attention, our awareness, and investigate. These four satipatthanas are a direct way to liberation, to nibbana. It sounds pretty big, doesn't it? So he gave this framework of practice, kind of a very structure for us to follow, and the end of is liberation. Nibbana. So what are the four satipatthanas? The first one is the body. It's the first one and kind of the base. We never leave the body behind, even when we progress through the following satipatthanas. We never leave the body behind. It's the first, and also it's the base. The second is normally is translated as the feeling tone, but it's a hedonic taste of experience. It's whether the experience we are having is pleasant or unpleasant or something in between. The third one is what is happening in our mind and our heart. And the fourth one is kind of contemplative lenses through which we see experience in ways that are helpful for our liberation. But let's just start with the body, with the first one. So in this first way of establishing our mindfulness, our liberating awareness, the body, the Buddha encourages us to pay attention to the body in different ways. paying attention, for example, to a part of the body, paying attention to the breath, pay attention to the posture we are holding, and also paying attention to the activities, the activity we are engaged with in. So pretty much paying attention to the body in all situations. And in the Satipatthana, the Buddha uses a refrain again and again. To know the body as the body. To know the body as the body. And many times I wondered, what does it mean that? To know the body in the body, as the body, what is it? And I think he's pointing at the common tendency, the habitual tendency of human beings to go to the mind and to get entangled into thinking. So he's actually saying, bring your attention to the body and not think about the body. It's not thinking about the body. Is bringing the attention into the body, sensing the body, inhabiting the body, inhabiting the body. Calm down, another way of saying it, calm down from the mind into the body. Can you sense that right now? For example, can you notice the sensations in your buttocks? The sensations of the breath. There is a huge difference between thinking about the breath and feeling the breath. Thinking about a part of your body, imagining it, or thinking about it, and feeling that part of the body. So we normally have kind of not very helpful relationship with the body. Habitually, we are over-identified with the body. We see the body as the place where we can obtain happiness, either by accruing sensual pleasure, or the conditions for the body to be comfortable, or we can be worried about our body, about the health of the body, about the appearance of the body, how the body appears, how it is seen by others, worried about the body aging, concerned about the fragility of the body. So we can be over-identified with the body in this way. But also we can be dissociated from the body. This is another unhelpful relationship with the body, to be dissociated and to spend most of our time in our heads. It's caught up in thinking, entangled in thinking, lost in thinking. That we rarely are in touch with the body. I don't know if this sounds familiar to you. For me, it was really a discovery, a real discovery. I was one of those who spent most of the time in his head. And it really was striking to me, these instructions and this way of living. Start to coming down from the head into the body, to start to have that connection with the body, to start to get intimate with the body. Because living in the head is not a very helpful way of living. It's a very ungrounded way of living. And we are at the mercy of all the unhelpful mental habit patterns that we have inherited and enact continuously. So why is it important to bring this mindfulness, this attention into the body? Why is so important? Well, first of all, because the body can become an anchor to remain in the present moment. An anchor for our attention, so it doesn't get so swept away and so entangled in the mind. We make the body our anchor. The body is also the place where we can come back when we do get lost, and we will get lost many times. The tendency of the mind is getting lost in thought, in thinking, or distracted. Or you get asleep. So the body, whenever we realize we were lost, is a way to come back. As this getting lost is going to happen many times, just want to mention that every time you realize you were lost, in that very moment, you are not lost. In that very moment of recognition, when you realize you were not aware, in that very moment, you are aware. You realize I was not present. You are present when you realize that. So every time that happens, just to remember this, and instead of start to give you a hard time of, you know, this has happened again, or I've been lost, whatever, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever the length of time, instead of bringing criticism, self-judgment, how about to bring a sense of celebration? It doesn't matter how long I was lost. Now I am present. I am aware. Can I celebrate that? Can I enjoy that? Can I enjoy that I am present in this moment? In this very moment, I am present. And then without rushing, you can come back to reconnect with the body. And again, to take the body as an anchor, to remain in the present moment. The body is also a refuge when we are, you know, engaged in whatever mental distressing pattern we realize we were. It's also a refuge. It's also a refuge when there is a storm in our head. Whenever you realize that, just bringing your attention into the body, especially the lower part of the body, as a way of grounding yourself while the storm lasts. If you do that, the storm will pass. If we don't invest energy in the mental storm, it will fade away in due time. We don't have to fight it. We don't have to do anything about it. Just to bring the attention into the body and ground ourselves there. The body is also a good place to observe the mind, actually. It's kind of a refuge, but also a good place where we can observe our mind and start to learn about the mind, about the habits of the mind, about how our mind works. We cannot do that if we are lost in the mind. So we need a base, a refuge, from where to study the mind, so to speak. And the body is also a way, an area in which we can gain insight. And there are many insights we can gain from bringing the attention into the body. So many lessons and insights to learn in the body. For example, that we can intentionally direct our attention. We have that capacity. We do have it, even if it is very underdeveloped. We do have that capacity to direct our attention and not to be at the mercy of the mind or whatever stimuli we find in our environment. We can learn that and we can develop that in this practice. So there is an alternative to be continuously lost in the mind, worried, preoccupied, thinking about the past, about the future, fantasizing. There is an alternative. We start to exercise our capacity to choose where to direct our attention. This is a powerful thing to learn. A powerful thing to learn in our way towards liberation. We can learn also about change. About impermanence. Change is part of nature, of life. Everything changes. everything. And we can learn that also paying attention to the body. Just, for example, noticing the change in the sensations in whatever part of your body you are paying attention to. The food, for example. Paying attention there and noticing how the sensations change. And we will develop these themes or throughout the retreat. I just wanted to mention some of the things, some of the insights we can learn when we bring our investigative, curious, and kind attention to the body. Having said all of this, I want to say that bringing the attention to the body can also be challenging at times, especially when you encounter pain or discomfort, or when there is an illness, or if you have suffered a trauma also. Bringing attention to certain parts of the body can be triggering, if there is that. If that's the case, it's a matter of finding another part of the body where you feel safe, or even to choose another anchor for your attention rather than the body, like the space around the body or sounds. So I've been talking a lot about the body, as you have noticed. Let's maybe, if you want, just stand up, stretch a little bit, and we're going to do some practice now. So finding your way to your posture. So if you are sitting, either on a chair or on a cushion or bench. But just to say from the beginning that there are no privileged posture. If you feel more comfortable sitting on a chair, that's completely fine, completely okay. But if you feel comfortable sitting on the floor on a cushion, or bench, completely fine as well. So try to find a posture that is suitable to your body. A posture in which you feel comfortable But at the same time, you can hold your body in an upright position. So we try to achieve uprightness with ease. And if you are sitting, we want to make contact with whatever is supporting us in three points. If you are sitting on a chair, your 2 feet on the ground and your buttocks. And then if you are sitting on the floor, your 2 knees and the buttocks, or your 2 legs and the buttocks. Ideally, would be good to have the knees underneath the level of the hips, if that's possible for your body. It may not be possible. In that case, you can play with putting some things underneath your knees so you feel more stable. And the pelvis would be also good that it is slightly tilted forward. So that's going to help the torso to be upright without trying to make much effort. And then making sure your shoulders are soft and relaxed. And your arms hanging loose. And then the hands can be gently resting on your knees or your legs or your lap. Maybe on a traditional mudra, if you want to experiment with that, or just placing them as you feel more comfortable. And if you feel also comfortable closing your eyes, and bringing the attention into the body. Feeling the body from the inside. To a part of the body that feels grounding. That can be to your feet, maybe your legs, or your buttocks, connecting with the body in this simple way. Paying attention to the physical sensations. You may want to bring your attention to the sensations of the breath. Whatever part of your body you feel most grounding for you, making that the main focus of your attention. You may notice other physical sensations and sounds and thoughts. And that's completely fine. This practice is not about emptying your mind of thoughts or try to block them. Keeping the attention anchored in your body. And at the same time, an openness in your mind. So allowing any other phenomena or thoughts to arise and pass away. Without getting entangled with them or without pushing them away.
So of course, wherever we go, there our body is. And the Buddha taught this practice of establishing mindfulness, presence, this engaged quality of knowing, experience in this moment. He taught this actually in all the postures. And the sitting posture's very significant. It's one where we can come back and be very clear about our intention. It can be a sense of a starting point. Often supports calming and stilling and putting the glass down, as I mentioned yesterday. But in a sense, the most important aspect of this practice is this potential and possibility of continuity. We'll touch on this more during the retreat, but as humans, Ramiro mentioned, you know, the changing nature of things, there's this sense that we're always cultivating things. We're always, depending on our intention, we're growing in a particular direction or we're growing in a different direction. We're either perpetuating certain things or giving rise to other things. And this is actually incredibly empowering. It's the way that the whole path works, that there is this thread of this quality that we can bring into being, continue to cultivate, and continue to gain momentum and become freeing, become liberating. So the invitation in this retreat is to really think of the different postures all as opportunities to keep coming back to this experience of body in the moment. And of course, when we go off into different postures, we will notice that our mind relates to those in different ways. And it's very common, I think, for many of us, and certainly myself, you know, to be invited to practice walking meditation was such a revelation, because walking for so long had just been often a means to get from here, where I was really busy, to get to somewhere else where I really had something important to do. And in a sense, missing so much of my life, unless, of course, I was going out for a walk in the countryside or something like that. Flavour would change a bit. So the practice of walking meditation is the noble practice of walking without trying to get anywhere. It's simply walking back and forth in a straight line, maybe about the width of this room, and just exploring, continuing this practice, continuing to come back to the simple experience, seeing if our awareness can linger there a bit. And as Ramiro mentioned, noticing those moments where we've been lost and we're aware again. In that moment, awareness is already there with us. So in this practice, it's a little bit different. It's sometimes we can think of sort of sitting practice maybe as, I'm not sure which way around is the best way, but maybe the out-breath, you know, like, and then walking can be a bit like moving into the in-breath, kind of allowing awareness to open up a little bit more. You might have noticed in the meditation just then that it's a way in which we can start to anchor this quality, but it doesn't need to be tight or closed or closing things off. You can still notice other things. And this is very much there in the practice of walking meditation, that we invite awareness to descend down the body, down into the feet. So sensing awareness in the feet. That can make a nice change, just to be that simple, feet walking on the earth. And so again, it's not the sort of awareness looking down at our feet from up here, where we often locate our sense of ourselves, but just seeing if you can explore the awareness that can just be there in the feet. This is the place that we can keep coming back to. Important bit to mention is eyes open. in this meditation practice, my teacher often tells a story about someone, it might have actually been here at Gaia House, but very mindfully, very slowly, very carefully, walking into a pond. So crucial to mention the eyes open. But very much this sense of receiving life, you know, just exploring being at home here, and not so much going out to sort of get things and leave ourselves as we're so familiar with doing. Just receiving life and at the same time having our feet at the centre of experience that we can come back to. So it can be nice in this practice to slow down a bit. You don't want it to feel unnatural, so it's not about kind of forcing yourself to walk really slowly, but just in the flow of this retreat and settling and landing, just can be nice to slow down. Support's coming home. And then just walking whatever space we give for ourselves, and at the end of the walking space, just pausing, just stopping there, noticing, and slowly turning around, noticing the experience of turning around and walking again. So in this way, in this practice, we kind of sustain this intention, and that's the most important thing in a way. You know, our mind will come up with various ideas of other things we could be doing, but we're exploring on this retreat, what happens if I operate from this intention? We've got this sense that it's a wholesome intention, and this is where all the seeds are sown. Our experience in the moment is a lot to do with what's gone before. You know, the thoughts that we're having in a moment is not so much to do with how we are or how we're practicing. It's to do with lots and lots of other things. But whenever there's this quality of awareness, we've got an opportunity right there. So it's not about making a particular experience happen, but it's about continuing to sow these seeds. And if you find yourself just getting a little busy and you're not quite sure where you are, and there can be a lot of mental activity can come along and visit, just feel free just to pause right there and stop. Just stand for a little bit. It's very simply sense of feet on the ground, feeling the earth below. And then just slowly start walking again. And so the invitation is very much to go outside, but there is a walking space inside at Gaia House, and there's also various corridor spaces around the building as well if we do end up with some rain and you want to be inside. If you are walking outside, it's just nice to kind of plot your path so you're not crossing over and overlapping with other people. It's sort of... supports the simplicity, because you could end up with a slightly awkward negotiation if you run into each other. So just finding a straight line and seeing that the coast is clear. And if you can be lovely actually walking outside bare feet as well. This a sense of just bodies walking on the earth, making contact with the ground. But if you feel like you need, if there is a bit more rain today and you need anything else, there are some spare raincoats and such like right down at the far end of the building past reception. If you haven't brought anything with you. Okay. Just before we head on out, we'll do a little example and just feel into this walking practice. But before we do that, does anyone have any questions about walking meditation? Some of you have done it. Some of you will have read walking on the notice board and thought, goodness, what is this? Does that feel clear enough? Yeah. So it can look a little strange, but you get the sense of the purpose. Meditation whilst moving, and this is something that then we can start to explore and continue actually as we move around during our day. Okay. So let's all stand up. Oh, and just to say as well, actually, I ought to have mentioned, in terms of our differing bodies and what our bodies feel comfortable doing, if it feels like walking meditation's really not going to work for you, then there are ways in which you can sit, maybe outside on the bench or somewhere, and just very simply kind of moving the feet up and down on the ground or moving the arms in a walking motion, just to get this sense of something more dynamic. Or it might be that you feel you can only walk for a shorter amount of time, and that's fine as well. You can come back into the meditation hall a bit early if you want to. So if we just stand with our feet shoulder width apart. And so we're just going to feel the sense of the transfer of weight. So just allowing your weight to go over the left foot. Just noticing how that feels, the sense of solidity under the foot, the sense of the earth pushing back. And just seeing if you can get a sense of the awareness that knows that. And then slowly allowing your weight to go back onto the other foot. Just feeling the transfer of pressure. Just exploring that experience between the foot and the ground. And then if you feel like you've got a little bit of room in front of you, just taking a small step with the other foot. Just seeing how that feels. So you just get, and then bringing the other foot alongside. And just coming back to standing. And just lingering there a bit. And so you might be getting a sense of this awareness that is directed towards the feet. You can really feel and know experience directly in the feet. As we walk, it may just feel a little bit more general, like our awareness is just with the lower legs. This is the experience we can come back to. Okay, so this is walking meditation, everyone. So enjoy some time outside and just exploring this practice, and a bell will go at some point and we'll continue here back in the hall. So enjoy the walking meditation.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.